This is Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square Realty Advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. Capital Square sponsors tax-advantaged real estate investments. First, Section 1031 exchange programs for tax deferral. Capital Square's 1031 exchange programs use the Delaware Statutory Trust, or DST structure, we have discussed in prior shows. The DST structure has been approved by the IRS and Treasury in a published revenue ruling. Second, Opportunity Zone funds for tax deferral and exclusion of capital gains under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. By investing in a qualified Opportunity Zone fund, investors can defer and permanently exclude capital gains from any asset. Stocks, businesses, other assets, and even real estate, and a real estate investment trust, a REIT as we call it, to acquire apartment communities from the Southeast to Texas for stable income and growth. The first REIT property is in Midlothian, not far from Capital Square's headquarters in Richmond. REITs are an excellent vehicle for regular folks to invest in real estate. And the icing on the cake, REIT dividends are tax favored. Capital Square is the investment manager and sponsor of 95 investment programs with over 130 properties nationwide. That equates to well over $3 billion of real estate. In Virginia, Capital Square sponsors and manages 17 properties for DST 1031 programs with an investment cost of approximately $1 billion. These programs are designed primarily for Section 1031. Exchange investors, and four Opportunity Zone projects in the Scotts Addition neighborhood of Richmond, designed for investors seeking to defer and exclude capital gains of any type under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Look at the construction cameras on Capital Square's website to see the activity. It's amazing. New projects are coming out of the ground, with the first tenants taking possession this fall. New Class A apartments with mixed-use retail components. It's amazing. Look at the web cameras. Capital Square is bullish on Virginia. We have numerous new acquisitions in the pipeline and will continue to invest aggressively in Virginia.
Capital Square sponsors seminars on tax-advantaged real estate investments. In the seminars, we discuss Section 1031 exchanges for tax deferral on the sale of real estate, Opportunity Zone funds for tax deferral and exclusion on the sale of any asset, whether it's stocks, bonds, or businesses, even real estate, any capital gain, and real estate investment trusts or REITs, where regular folks can invest in the best real estate assets in the nation with tax benefits. The seminars are held on a regular basis in Capital Square's offices in Richmond. Also, you can join us virtually from any computer or smartphone. There is no cost to attend. The next seminar is December 1st at 1 o'clock p.m. To reserve your place, please call Capital Square at 877-626-1031. For additional information, call Shep Haw at Capital Square, or me, Lewis Rogers. We look forward to seeing you in person or virtually for a tax-advantaged real estate investment seminar. Today's show was recorded at a recent seminar at Capital Square. Enjoy.
Section 1031 is my favorite section of the entire Internal Revenue Code because it's 100 years old. It just turned 100. We had a birthday party for 1031, and it's written in very plain, simple English. And it says no gain shall be recognized. We're talking about deferring tax, no gain being recognized. And it only covers a few things. It covers property that's used in your business or held for investment. So take out of your mind your personal residence and other things. Think about your investment property. Think about business property. That's what we're talking about. And it says that no gain shall be recognized on the exchange of property that's held for productive use in a trade or business or for investment, if you exchange that property for another business or investment property. It was very simple, property for property. They have to be of like kind, and that's what Hunton and Williams sent me in to discover, and we'll get to of like kind in a minute, but basically, if you start with real estate and you end with real estate and you never receive anything in the middle that's cash, you've done a good exchange. So, real simple. We're talking about the gain not being recognized, it's deferred. The tax that would have been paid is deferred until you sell the replacement property. You can exchange the replacement property over and over and over again in a series of exchanges that Shep calls
swap till you drop.
Swap till you drop. And then what happens when you drop?
Step to a basis to your heirs.
So you buy an investment property, it appreciates, you don't want to pay the federal and state tax, so you do an exchange and you defer the tax. Now you have a replacement property. When it matures, you sell it and do another exchange, and then when we meet our maker, our heirs get a stepped up basis and they can sell and the tax is essentially forgiven. There may be an estate tax, but the tax on that property is essentially forgiven. So that's 1031. It defers the taxes. It doesn't forgive them, but you can defer as many times as you want. We have families who have structured 7 or 8 exchanges, and so they're constantly building up their family wealth. And we're talking about investment property, rental property, land held for appreciation, property used in a business. We're not talking about your principal residence. Your principal residence has another code section, 121, that allows you to forgive the tax. It's limited. It's $250,000 or $500,000 with spouse. So if you're single, it's $250,000. If you're married, $500,000, and that's your principal residence. And there's one other thing for involuntary conversions, where the state or the federal government takes your property. You can reinvest under a different code section that is similar and very friendly. Doesn't come up very often. 1031 requires the same taxpayer that owned the relinquished property to acquire the replacement property. So it's real simple. If you own your property in your own name, you need to own the replacement property in your own name. If it's an entity, a limited liability company, a C-corp, whatever it is, use the same entity exactly. If you want to make a change, wait a year and a day, but same entity acquires the replacement property. There's an exception for things called single member LLCs. Those have been around for about 15 years now, and they don't exist for tax purposes. They just give you limited liability. So if you have a single member LLC, you can use that as your replacement property owner. But typically, whoever owned the relinquished property owns the replacement property. Real simple. If you want to make a change, wait a year and a day. Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is in the news. The current Congress wants to make it go away, but they can't seem to figure out how. That was in 2017, and Congress eliminated personal property from 1031. So it used to be fleets and trucks and railroad cars and all those things were exchanged by the big users. Now they don't qualify for 1031, just real property, just real estate. No impact on our business, thank goodness. This 2017 Act had a number of favorable provisions, bonus depreciation, a 20% pass-through deduction, and the Opportunity Zone funds that have become very popular lately. And the 1031 does a number of things. Technically, it defers the tax, and that's federal and state. It doesn't forgive them, it defers them. But again, you have the control every time you sell to structure another exchange. So every time you want to sell, you say, do I want to pay the tax? No, then I need to do another exchange. So the procedure we'll talk about, you follow it every time you want to sell, and you keep deferring and deferring and deferring the tax. By deferring the tax, you can build family wealth. That family was 7 exchanges. They have built that wealth up. You know, you could pay the tax. Let's say you had a property you sold for 100 and you owed 25 in taxes. You have 75 left. You could buy a $75 property and start all over again. But by doing an exchange, you're gonna exchange into a $100 property. So that 25 that would have gone to federal and state taxes is your property. You own it, you're earning on it, it's appreciating, and it grows over time. The 1031 allows you to acquire a higher quality replacement property. You might have a rental house, but with the Delaware Statutory Trust, the DSTs that we'll talk about, you can acquire a portion of a very large investment grade property, much higher quality. And you can diversify. Instead of acquiring one property, you can put your money into multiples of properties and reduce the risk of being concentrated in a single property. That's maybe the best benefit of the DSTs overall, of all the benefits. And we've done, how many have we done? Thousands of them. The 1031 is a very big deal, but the next big deal is not to put too much in any one thing. Nobody's perfect. Things happen. Nobody believed that, you know, General Motors would go bankrupt in 2007. And how many companies have gone bad over the years? And roughly half the companies that were on the New York Stock Exchange in the year 2000 are no longer on the stock exchange. Those are big companies. So what we learned from the real estate recession is to diversify, not to put too much, not to concentrate, not to put too many eggs in one basket. The DSTs have a very small minimum. So someone with even modest amounts of money from their exchange can go into two or three or four or even five properties and diversify. So if something happens that's unexpected, it's just something bad happens on one, you still have four. And typically, if one doesn't do very well, the others do much better and they offset each other. So diversify to reduce risk. And then the swap till you drop. When your heirs get the step up in basis, then they can sell and the tax is essentially forgiven. If you're big enough, you may have an estate tax. Your estate may have a tax, but your heirs get a basis that is equal to the fair market value, so they could sell and not pay the tax. It's a shame, but we have to die for them to get that benefit. There's no free lunch. The theory of 1031 is very simple. It's continuity of investment. You start with real estate. At the end of the day, you end with real estate, and you never receive anything in the middle that would be taxable. No cash, no non-like-kind property. That's called boot. And back in the old days, in the 1921 thinking, if you didn't receive cash, you had no cash to pay tax. Back when the tax law was logical, the theory was you've continued your investment. And that's the way it was a long time ago. In the 80s and 90s, we created qualified intermediaries to hold the money. And now it's kind of hard to see the continuity of investment because the money's sitting there in cash. But the theory is that you've continued your investment. You started with real estate, you ended with real estate, you never cashed out. And that is the theory. The why we exchange, there's a couple of different reasons. There's the tax reason, which is tax deferral. The tax that would have been paid is deferred. It's deferred until you sell the replacement property. And that deferral has a value. When there's CPA, either one of you? No, good. When the CPAs are in the room, they'll say, well, if I don't pay a tax on 100 for 10 years at a certain return, that has a value. They'll quantify the value of not paying the tax for 10 years or 20 years or 100 years, the tax deferral. Our people mostly swap till they drop. It's not just deferral, it's going to be forgiveness. They're going to hold forever. But technically, why we exchange, the CPAs will tell you, it's to defer the tax and to defer it for a very long time, forever. But there are a couple of business reasons why we do exchanges. And we've learned these over the years working with people who have sold their land to H.H. Hunt to become Wellesley and Wyndham in the West End, or other people who had land that is now Walmarts and things, learned along the way. One good reason to exchange is to exchange your non-income producing property. Let's say we're talking about Willie and Stafford, who was a postman, didn't have two nickels to rub together and drove a really raggedy pickup truck, but he had about 15 acres on Mine Road in Stafford that Walmart wanted for a lot of money. And so, but his property was generating no income. In fact, it was costing him taxes. And where we live out in the country, we're in land use, so taxes are low. Where he lived was in town. So the taxes were killing him, and he had to cut the grass and maintain the property and keep the kids off the property with the dirt bikes so he wouldn't get sued when they hurt themselves. And so Willie's is spending a lot of money on his non-income producing property. He exchanged that for income producing property. He exchanged it for net leased properties, things like a FedEx facility. And now, instead of, we didn't pay the tax, he didn't exchange, deferred the tax, and now every month he had an enormous income coming in. So his reason for exchanging, yes, was to defer the tax, but it was also to convert non-income producing to income producing. And he was able to put his grandkids through college. They went on a trip to Europe. I mean, it's completely changed the life for that entire family by going from that piece of land negative to income-producing property. And then the second business reason we've learned over the years is that a lot of us have actively managed property, like apartments, duplexes, rental houses, and we get tired of the tenants' toilets and trash, or in Texas, it's teenagers' toilets and trash, because the teenagers in Texas are very difficult. We can exchange that management-intensive property for a passive investment. It could be a net leased property, like a CVS or a Walgreens if you have enough, or it could be a DST for as little as $25,000 or $50,000, but you can get out of being a landlord. And I've seen that change people's lives when they've been, you know, every night and weekend they're having to paint the house and fix the roof, and they can't even go on vacation for fear that something's going to break. It's a great time to sell real estate. People are paying, you know, record prices for everything everywhere. Houses are going over the dream asking price all the time. And you can exchange that difficult property that you have to work on for in an exchange for a net lease or a DST and have no work to do, have a passive investment. So yes, it's tax deferral. And if you have land that's not producing, you can exchange it for income producing. And if you have something that's actively managed and you want a happier life, you can exchange into a net lease to eliminate the active management. So those are real business reasons to exchange from the school of hard knocks. And then there's the one from Willie again in Stafford, who was a really fine individual postman. He wasn't classically trained in real estate, but he said, if somebody's willing to overpay for my property, I'll sell it to them and I'll do an exchange and steal somebody else's property, because he was smarter than everybody else. Those are the reasons we exchange. There are a lot of myths people have myths in their mind about exchanging, and they think we have to swap with somebody. You have a property and I have a property and we meet in the middle and swap, but it doesn't work like that anymore. Maybe in 1921, but no longer. Some people think they have to buy the same type of real estate that they're exchanging, but you don't. Some people think it has to happen all at once. That's a simultaneous exchange. Out of thousands of exchanges, I can remember drafting one or two simultaneous exchange agreements in my entire life, and it was an effort, because they're so rare. Mostly they're delayed or deferred exchanges. Somebody wants to buy your property and you sell to them in an exchange, and then you go become a buyer and you buy from somebody, and that's your replacement property. We'll go through that in a minute. People think they're difficult, expensive, and only for rich people. Not so. The cost is under $1,000 to do an exchange. And so, it's pretty simple. Some people fear being audited, but we've had virtually no audits in 30 years of exchanging. I've had two, one where there was an error in the math on the form. You do the math and it doesn't come out right, you're gonna get audited. And the other one, people were finagling, if you know what that means. They were not following the rules and they should have been audited, but that's two out of thousands. If you live on part of the property, you can still do an exchange and still do the 121 sale of your residence. If we have time, we'll get to that. But you do need to hire a qualified intermediary to hold the funds. We'll get to all of these things. Not a red flag for an audit. The amount of auditing is tiny. Follow the law, follow 1031, fill out the 8824 form accurately. Nowadays, it's computer generated. You plug in the numbers and the math, it automatically does the math correctly. In my day, you had to do the math and fill out the form, and that everything's automated now. The question at the Hunton and Williams stage in 84 was, what's like kind? 1031 says you can exchange property for property of like kind. What does that mean? And after 4 days, 3 days in that closet with that stupid LexisNexis machine humming and generating about 100 degree heat, I was able to reach the conclusion then, and it's still true, that any sort of real estate is like kind to any other sort of real estate. And so if you have a rental house, you can exchange it for virtually anything, single family home, an apartment, for a shopping center, an industrial, doesn't matter. Is it real estate? If it's real estate, you can exchange it for other types of real estate. Real simple. The language is complicated and it can confuse you. I'll skip over it. What is interesting is you can exchange the land, the unimproved real estate, for improved real estate, and vice versa. And that's considered to be of like kind. It's in the regulations. It's been there since the 40s. Been there a very long time. And so like kind is very broadly defined. It could be, it could have been very tight. It could have said an apartment is like kind for another housing unit, whether it's an apartment or a single family home or a duplex, or, but it didn't say that. It says of like kind. If it's real estate, it qualifies a like kind to other real estate. And it's so broad that even land can be exchanged for buildings. You, if Tredegar were for sale, you could exchange your land for Tredegar. You could exchange Tredegar for anything. So it's broad, very broad. The key to 1031 is your intent. You're intending to do an exchange, not to cash out. And in the past 200 cases that are reported and printed in three-ring notebooks somewhere in our file system that I can't find anymore because they're so old, if the taxpayer intended to do an exchange and they made some little technical error, usually the courts overlook it and allow their exchange to stand up. The one place taxpayers lost every time is cashing out. You go to closing and you take the cash, and 1 minute later you say, oh my gosh, I want to do an exchange, it's too late. You get to closing before the closing and you say, I want to do an exchange. You say, time out. You call in the qualified intermediary, you sign an exchange agreement, and you're okay. You have right up until the second when the title transfers and you accept the money to make it into an exchange. And that's the one place where there's no flexibility. To do a complete exchange, two things have to happen. People understand the first thing and they seem to struggle with the second thing, but the first thing is think about your old-fashioned settlement statement. We have a settlement statement, and I'm the seller. I want to do an exchange. And at the bottom, it says net proceeds to seller. That's the cash. That cash goes to the qualified intermediary to be held for your replacement property. So reinvest the cash. Now, if you want to cash out some, great. Cash out some and pay tax on it. Most people don't want to pay any tax. So they net proceeds to seller, that bottom line, goes to the qualified intermediary, or net proceeds to QI, and then some to the seller taxable. But that's the first thing, is to reinvest the net proceeds. And secondly, if you have debt on your relinquished property, you have to have equal or greater debt on your replacement property. People struggle with that one. I think it's pretty simple if you think about it. When you borrow money, there's no tax. You borrow money, you have to pay it back. We're not charitable organizations, so when we pay something back, it's after tax. And so when you do an exchange, you borrowed money, you have to pay it back. You have to pay it back in your replacement property. If you're off the hook without having to pay it back, you've gotten a double benefit. You've been relieved of a debt. 1031 just defers the tax, doesn't relieve the debt.
The next seminar is December 1st at 1 o'clock p.m. To reserve your place, please call Capital Square at 877-626-1031.
This is Louis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square Realty Advisors. Thank you for joining today's episode of The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. It has been a record year at Capital Square. This year has been off the chart for real estate investment in spite of the pandemic. For more information about Capital Square, contact me at lrogers@capitalsquare1031.com or 877-626-1031. Please join me, Louis Rogers, same time next week, when we discuss cutting-edge real estate topics of interest locally and nationally. Invest locally, invest nationally, invest with Capital Square on a tax-advantaged basis. Living in the sweet Virginia
breeze, sweet Virginia breeze. The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Louis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.